Our movie reviews are actually brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. But Tim Lammers is definitely the person that's bringing us movie reviews today. Tim, take it away.
New in theaters is the psychological thriller Don't Worry, Darling, directed by actor Olivia Wilde. Don't Worry, Darling is set in an idyllic 1950s community full of beautiful couples and adorable kids who are all part of a social experiment known as the Victory Project, where families live seemingly perfect lives. Among them are Alice and Jack Chambers, played by Florence Pugh, and singer Harry Styles, and all is status quo until Alice begins to have weird images flash through her mind and notices something is off about the residence and the setting, and she starts talking out loud about it. This doesn't sit well with the charismatic, cultish leader of the Victory Project, played in a wonderfully creepy fashion by Chris Pine, and it all leads to a showdown of the wills that threatens to tear the community apart. Now, look, there's no question that Don't Worry, Darling has some great things going for it, in particular, the always terrific Florence Pugh and Chris Pine. But aside from that, the film suffers from serious flaws, and chief among them, sorry to say, Harry Styles fans, he's not that good of an actor. Since I wasn't a fan of Olivia Wilde's Booksmart, I will say that she does a better job here as a filmmaker, and she has a decent supporting role in the film, too. But she also delivers too much of a good thing because the film feels way overlong, even at a two-hour runtime. Now, Don't Worry, Darling takes too long to get to the big reveal also, which isn't until the final half hour of the film. And once you get there, you're going to say, haven't we been here before? The film has, we have been there before, and I will say, if I'm going to tell you about other films that we've seen this plot, then I'd be giving away too much. Don't Worry, Darling is new in theaters.
Okay. Now, when I watched the preview, I got so into it that I couldn't even, I wasn't even on air. Oh my gosh, I got to keep on going here. I was so into the preview, looks so good.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and the,
generally, I mean, you know,
of course
they hire
do.
Specific people to cut trailers. And, you know, I think a lot of movies look great in a two minute trailer. But then when you stretch it out to a 2 hour runtime, I mean, there's a lot to fill there. I think this film has tremendous promise. Again, I think it does really have a lot of great things going for it. And you know, when you have strong actors like Florence Pugh, who is in Black Widow as Scarlett Johansson's sister.
Mm.
She's a star on the rise. She's a big time career ahead of her.
Okay.
And she's great. But then Harry Styles, he was actually a replacement for Shia LaBeouf, who, you know, there was some gossip going on via Olivia Wilde, who said, well, I fired him from the film. And he said, no, Olivia, actually I have text messages and video messages to prove that I left the film on my own volition. So, you know, I think, you know, when you think about what could have been with Shia LaBeouf. Now, look, the guy has a lot going on off screen, et cetera, but he's a great actor.
Yeah.
So you get a guy like Harry Styles in, yeah, he's a big singer, but he's also going to pale by comparison. But then again, you have Chris Pine. The filmmaking, again, I was pretty impressed with the settings, the creepy feeling. It's just way too overlong.
Oh.
And there's a show on Netflix called Black Mirror. It's originated in the UK. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone sort of show.
Okay.
I think if they would have cut this film in half, it would have been a great episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, wow.
But again, it's just too much of a good thing. And again, it reminds you once they do get to the end game, it's like, oh, okay, I've seen this before, but I can't tell you where I've seen it before because I'd be giving away too much,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm courteous that way. You know, I don't like to deliver spoilers there, Kelly.
I know. I'm glad you don't. But you and I are going to talk off air because I already know what you're talking about from watching the trailer, but I'm not going to say anything either.
Yeah,
but I know a couple things that you're talking about, actually.
Yeah, and there are actually other films apart from the one that you mentioned to me.
Mm-hmm. Right,
that,
I know what you're talking about. That's what I'm saying. I didn't tell you yet.
We've seen it before,
Oh.
And we've seen it recently, and we've seen it in classic films, and we've seen it in really bad films, and that is where I'm going to draw the line and not tell you, you know. So, yeah, it's look, I think maybe I'm just, you know, sometimes I overthink things, you know. I think because this movie was overhyped, because it was so overhyped with all this back and forth going on between, you know, the director and mm-hmm. actors, et cetera, that they overhyped it. And okay. maybe I was expecting too much. Who knows?
Okay, so I got a question about this. Is this just in theaters?
It's just in theaters. Okay. But, you know, if you want to wait a month.
Yeah.
Or a little bit more. I mean, you can get a premium video on demand for $20, and then that seems to be the way things are going now. It's, you know, since the pandemic, they make home video faster.
Yeah.
They're usually available for a premium streaming price, which is usually $20, and then a few weeks after that, it comes out on, you know, Blu-ray, DVD, and then regular streaming.
Now, you as someone who reviews movies,
$5.99 or so.
Yeah, you as someone who reviews movies, you like to see them in the theater to get that theater feel, to see how it's going to do on the big screen versus just watching it at home, I know. If you would have seen this one at home, do you think people would like it better just because it's on TV and they're not going to be disappointed in, like, going to the theater to spend money?
Well, I think any time when you go to the theater and spend, you know, a lot of money for tickets, and I love local theaters, don't get me wrong, but I'm just kind of, you know, trying to rationalize why people prefer one or the other. I mean, they're going to spend a lot less money doing it at home. And if you spend a lot of money and you think, wow, was this really worth it? That's kind of where I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, there's the Top Gun Mavericks of the world where you want to go back 20 times and see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just nothing else like it. And I will say, I mean, the vistas here, I mean, because this is set in the middle of this, it's a desolate setting in the middle of the desert. And again, it's just that big screen experience of it all, it just kind of lends to the creepy aspect of the film. But again, that creepy aspect that you get at the beginning kind of starts to lull because, again, you feel like, okay, we think we know what's going on. She's starting to discover more and more, Alice is in Florence Pugh, but it's like, okay, when are we going to see the big reveal?
Yeah.
You know, we're getting to an hour and a half, and it's like, okay, still no big reveal, and then boom, you know, for the last 25% of the film, it's there, but, you know, you kind of think that, okay, this could be a lot shorter, they could have revealed things a lot sooner, and it really wouldn't have taken away from anything.
Right, and that would have been a much better experience.
Right. Yeah. Because look, I mean, the other thing is time. You know,
right.
I mean, both get older, Kelly. I know we've talked about this before. You know, especially with kids, it's like time.
Mm-hmm.
It's so valuable, and you tend to think more in the thoughts of, gosh, I could have been doing this better with my time instead of this. And
goodness, yeah.
All that kind of thing. It's not a horrible movie. It's just underwhelming.
Okay.
It's just underwhelming. And then again, you know, look, they cast Harry Styles. They got to be ready to take the shots.
Right.
Because,
shucks.
You know, the rock and rollers, the pop stars, the country stars, they don't all translate.
Mm-mm.
Some of them do. Some of them are on the show Monarch that mm-hmm. translates. Some of them are like, who's the star of Monarch again?
Trace Adkins is the country star, and then Susan Sarandon.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, you know, some people work like Trace Adkins. Some people work like Tim McGraw on your 1883 or your, you know,
playing
Friday
themselves,
Night Lights,
kinda.
The original picture. He was terrific in that. But some people just don't.
Mm, right.
And Harry is unfortunately one of those guys.
Got it.
Was thrown into a tough situation. I will give him that. It's his first major role, but it's like, It just would have been so much better with somebody like Shia or somebody else that's got experience.
All right. Well, we got 2 minutes left. I want to talk to you a little bit about a new interview that you've done with Cobra Kai season 5 star Martin Cove.
Yeah. This was so much fun. I've been looking forward to getting the opportunity to talk with him. And yes, it did happen. He plays the evil Sensei John Kreese in the original Karate Kid movies, and then he returned for season 2 of Cobra Kai. So just a cool dude. You know, he's sitting in the backyard and at his home in Nashville smoking a cigar throughout the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
A laid-back guy who has done more than 200 some roles. He's well-seasoned, veteran actor, lots of stories, just so much fun. So that was for Looper.com, but you can get the links to that and my other interviews for Cobra Kai on directconversations.com.
Just on a side note, I actually was just kind of chilling last night waiting for something else that I had to work on, and I turned on, I think it was Netflix, and I watched a Steve Martin Short comedy sketch, and I was thinking, and I'm a huge Steve Martin fan, but not so much Martin Short. It was excellent.
It is. Those guys are so great. And catch that. Yeah, because they did a touring show, and I believe that's a version of that.
Okay.
A comedy thing. And honestly, you what you get there, you get it 10 times more with Only Murders in the Building.
Oh.
Which is on Hulu. It's a comedy show, but about true life crime podcasting. But they make it very, very funny. Selena Gomez is in it as well. That's highly recommended for streaming on Hulu if you get a chance to see that as well.
That sounds good. Well, that was just something funny. There was singing, there was dancing, of course. They're both musicians in their own right, and I didn't realize how wonderful Martin's voice really is. I knew banjo picking from Steve.
So they're both extremely talented. And, of course, we remember Steve Martin with the banjo back in his early stand-up comedy days.
Yes.
And that was part of his act. So,
so much fun.
Both of them, again, they're really talented.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you so much. It's Tim Lammers for our movie reviews brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured. Learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.